This is the Social Link Podcast, episode 33.
The Loop Cave.
On the home moment till now, break away. Ugh, let me out. Can you let me out? Can you set me free from being stuck in the world? Save me the last bit in the soul.
Another episode of the Social Link Podcast, guys. Today is September 25th, and it is a Thursday of 2014. This is Alex.
This is Anthony.
How's it going, my man?
It's going. So, tonight's going to be interesting, right?
Tonight is going to be really interesting, because apart from the fact that Anthony now has his Twitch account set up with Twitch with his PlayStation 4, we are going to be doing a first of all, one-of-a-kind double stream for Backlog Battle. So this is going to be rather interesting, and we're going to actually put it, we're not going to put it in, obviously, like, the description, because this is going to be released on a Saturday, but we're certainly going to link this on our Twitter accounts once we actually get it set up and stuff. So, but yeah, are you excited, Anthony? I mean, this is going to be, like, pretty much one of the first times you've actually streamed something on your PlayStation 4.
Yep. While I was streaming earlier, you saw me play Injustice for like 2 seconds.
Yeah, you kind of got enveloped in that. I was like, okay, I guess he's just going to play this instead of talking on a phone, but all right, whatever. Whatever
goes. I started playing with the Twitch settings, and then I've been uploading FF14 videos.
Yes,
and
indeed.
It's been pretty interesting.
Well, that's kind of separate from Twitch, though. Like, but that's like, so you mean to tell me like you're uploading videos to your Facebook account, correct?
Right.
Yeah. And how easy was it? It was pretty easy, huh?
Yeah. The PS4 stuff is easy to use.
Yeah.
Here's the only thing right now. I think the tricky thing with streaming is that I kind of want to do some more obscure stuff. And at this moment, there's not a whole lot. Well, there's a lot, but there's not a whole lot to do on the PS4. In a couple years, it'll be a whole different world, though, I would assume.
Yeah, I would imagine. I think so.
You know, and some of the type of games that I do enjoy playing, JRPGs, you know, most notably, we'll have a few of those. I mean, we'll have the, you know, Persona 5, obviously, Type-0, 15. But, you know, we're also getting the Valkyria Chronicles collection, too.
Right, totally.
I forgot about that. Mm-hmm. And that's worth it, because I've never played 2, and of course no one's ever played 3 here, well, unless you fan-patched it or something.
But. Right.
So, is that coming to the U.S.?
Which one?
The Valkyria Chronicles.
I am not sure if it will, but I would just imagine that it would.
Okay, because that first game is pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm, right.
Right, so there you go. But with that said, you know, can't wait to stream some stuff tonight, so.
Absolutely. And I do have, like, a link for it and stuff. I've just been kind of, like, testing it today. It is brand new. It is free. But it's really cool, because what this is, and just to kind of let the people out there kind of know, basically it's just a website that we use, and you plug in my username, Anthony's username, and it'll have both my stream on the left side and Anthony's stream on the right side, and it'll have both our chat rooms on the bottom. So you can actually, like, tune in to both of us at the same time and chat in both places at the same time. So it's actually really interesting, and you'll probably realize that there's lag, so it may or may not be good to be listening to both, you know? Because, you know, Anthony might be listening to a different song in a different zone, and I'm kind of doing the same thing and stuff, and you know, it's going to be an interesting experiment, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, it's going to be fun, so.
I think so. I'm pretty excited about it, actually.
So I hope people come to my stream and not Alan's joke.
Funny. In any case, how are you doing, man? I haven't talked to you in about a week, and I actually, before you say that, I just realized something really, really important.
What's that?
So next week we're going to be recording, but the next 2 weeks after that, I'm actually going to be busy. It's kind of interesting because like next, you know, the week after next week, I'm actually going to go to Knott's Berry Farm's Halloween Haunt.
Oh.
So that's actually going to be an all night thing and stuff. So, I mean, I'll be leaving work at like 3 p.m. or something like that and then trying to get there as early as possible. And then the following week, I'm actually going to be headed to Las Vegas for the Final Fantasy 14 Fan Festival.
That'll be interesting to talk about.
I think it'll be fun, but just to kind of let people know, and for you know, Anthony, and this is probably Anthony's first time hearing this, I'm not going to be available for the next 2 weeks after next week. So we're going to try to figure out like what to do with that kind of stuff. You know,
additional days to record, whatever, you know,
that something like that, or like, you know, temporary rescheduling. So far, like my weekends are kind of getting packed, but we'll figure something out. I have an idea for like what we can do as the episode after next week, but we'll talk about that outside of this conversation. But I just wanted to let our listeners know that's if we miss one episode, it's because of that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
So, anyways, before I took your microphone, your podium.
Shit!
What have you been up to?
So, just been busy with stuff, but I have been playing games, so that's always good, right?
Oh, yeah, because an Anthony that doesn't play games is kind of boring, especially on a podcast dedicated to video games.
Indeed. So, one game I've been playing, I just got the itch to play, is I've been playing Mario Kart 8 again, which I wish I could stream, but I can't.
Yeah, thank you, Nintendo. By the way, Twitch is boring.
Ah, shit. So, I have been playing Mario Kart 8, and I will
say
No.
Wait. I feel like I need to clarify this.
Okay, go ahead.
Every time we need to bring up something topical and timely, I feel like we need to always bring it up. So, Reggie Fils-Aimé basically was asked about how the Wii U doesn't have any sort of Twitch functionality. I think this was at E3 of this year, and he basically said, well, Twitch is not fun. You know, he obviously said more than that, but that was the takeaway that a lot of journalists and a lot of players got, which is, to me, it's really funny, but go right ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, it's all good. So Mario Kart 8 in general, though, is, you know, it's a really fun game. And I think, you know, since May, I've been playing it pretty consistently. I am pretty excited. I think one thing that Nintendo did do right, though, is the DLC.
Mm-hmm.
Because for one, you get a ton of content, and mind you, this content doesn't come out yet, but I pre-ordered it, so I got some of the bonuses. I'll talk about those in a second. Okay. But you get 6 new racers, a bunch of new parts for vehicles, and then I think 16 new tracks in both of them.
Mm-hmm.
Between both of them, which is a lot.
All right.
And so the new racers you get are in the first pack that comes out in November is Cat Toadstool from Super Mario 3D World, Tanuki Suit Mario, and then the one that I really want, Link, which is cool.
It just makes me wonder why they just haven't made some sort of Super Smash Kart or something like that.
I don't know, but hey, it works, you know?
I mean, if you think about it, isn't that the most logical progression? People like having seeing all the the Nintendo characters duke it out and stuff, and then, you know, now you can actually race against them. I think, you know, I almost think like that's kind of like the next cool thing, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's pretty. I don't know.
And you can't say that it's too kooky of an idea, because the idea of Smash Brothers is pretty kooky.
Yeah, Smash Brothers is insane, which, hey, we get that in a couple weeks, the 3DS version.
This is true, yes.
Yeah, speaking of which, I don't think the Wii U version has an official date yet, though.
Hmm.
I don't think it does.
I don't think it does either.
I don't know. I'm going to be honest. I have this feeling that we're not going to see the Wii U version.
Right.
This year. I just have that feeling.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking it's going to be a first quarter release, to be honest.
Hmm.
Now, if it comes out in November or December, well, you know, you can call me out on how wrong I am. But I think it's a pretty fair guess to say that they're not releasing that port yet.
Right.
You know, because that version obviously needs more development time than the 3DS. Not saying the 3DS is lesser, but just saying. So.
Right, of course.
Yeah. But at least we'll have the 3DS version, though, which is good. So
it'll calm things down. I think, you know, I think that that'd be really rather interesting and stuff, like, just, you know, like, to see the people's reaction to, you know, to the 3DS version and see if that's actually a viable thing. Because one of the biggest problems that I feel goes on with, you know, with fighting games on a portable is that typically it's just too... It's just unfeasible, right? I mean, it's only...
Or they're stripped down.
And stripped down and unpatchable. You know, like, if you remember, like, on the launch of the 3DS, like, Super Street Fighter 2, or Super Street Fighter 4 on the 3DS, they were never able to patch all the, you know, all the updates to it.
So it's
practically just kind of outdated. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, it is.
So it's kind of sad that, you know, like... So I'm kind of interested in if they're going to be a little bit more rigorous when it comes to patching the Smash Brothers on the 3DS, because they are trying to make it legit, you know, in terms of fighting games and stuff. Like, because, I mean, they had a pretty strong presence at Evo, you know, and they are taking a lot of feedback from players. So it's rather interesting to see them, you know, kind of really get behind both versions. And I can't wait. I mean, I'm not a Smash Brothers fan. But I'm curious to see how what you think of the game once it comes out. I'm pretty sure you'll have glowing reviews, but
I don't know. I'll have to see.
What?
Here's the thing. Well, here's the thing. Melee had its issues, so you know.
Ah, okay.
And that's pretty unanimous, right?
Sure.
You know, with a lot of what happened with Melee. I think Melee, though. You know, had some issues online. It had some balance issues, but it's a Smash Brothers game, so I don't know about balance. But we'll see. We'll see how it works on the 3DS. I'm a little skeptical because they've never put that... It's like taking a Pokemon game and putting it on console.
Right.
So, and you know what's weird? There's a lot of people that want that to happen, and I don't think that works.
Hmm.
Pokemon on the console. A traditional Pokemon game.
Yeah, we talked about this before. Yeah, it's never going to happen.
It's not going to happen, but...
I mean, I can't say it's never going to happen, but it's not going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you on that. But I think with Smash Brothers, it's interesting. And maybe, you know what? I think it might have been in response to what Sony did a couple years ago. PlayStation All-Stars. Because they had a Vita version of it as well, remember?
You think so? You think that's what it is?
Maybe. It might be. You know, now, I did get PlayStation All-Stars via PlayStation Plus, but I've never played it.
It's, well, I mean, I only played, like, a few minutes of it, but, I mean, it's not, like, a few minutes of it. I mean, I got both the PS3 version and the Vita version of PlayStation All-Stars, but it is a more technical game, but the thing is, you know, but it's still kind of Smash Brothers-y. But the problem with the game is just that you can tell that they actually spent a lot of time with balancing the characters and whatnot, that they just kind of forgot about everything else. For example, the menu. It looks like shit.
What?
Yeah, it looks like somebody opened up, like, you know, I don't know, GIMP or... Well, no, GIMP's a pretty powerful tool. MS Paint and made the menu.
Are you serious?
I mean, I'm not saying, okay, that's exaggeration. But if you Google, like, PlayStation All-Stars menu, you'll see it. The UI is pretty bad.
Let me look at this. I have to see it. I am super curious. I never played that game. I missed it because I remember it was pretty hyped back in the day, a couple years back. But
right. Yeah, it's like, you know, it doesn't reflect how cool the game could be. You know, like, it's just kind of, it looks okay. I mean, there's a lot of, like, kind of fake ones, so be careful. But for the most, it's kind of funny because the menu is so bad that people have pretty much decided that they can make a better menu. And a lot of, and if you Google PlayStation All-Star Battle Royale menu, a lot of that is actually menus that people have made because a lot of people didn't like the menu that they have.
Yeah, I see a bunch of menus, so I don't know which one is the real one.
It's okay, so it's basically like, okay, so if you Google exactly what I said and you go to images, it's basically the first one where it has Dante, Spike, Sackboy, and Ratchet on there. It's okay. Kind of like this weird menu system where it's like it's really, really tiny, and then like, you know, you had like the characters' portraits on the bottom, like really large, and it's just not, you know, it's just not that good. Like, if you open it up, you'll see.
Okay, I'll, you know what? Fuck it, I'll download. I have to see this menu.
Yeah, it's pretty.
It's bad.
It is. Like it's like if I asked my like 15-year-old self to make the menu. And that's being really harsh on myself, like, because my Photoshop skills were not that good. It's a lot of gradients and chrome and ugh. But anyways, enough of that.
The menu, I didn't even know.
Yeah, the menu's bad. Menu's gotcha. Pretty bad.
Gotcha. Okay, anyway. But yeah, so it's kind of a cool time to be a Nintendo fan, you know. I think we got some cool stuff looking forward to the Wii U, so it looks good, you know?
Sure.
Looks good. You know, moving on though to Mario Kart again. I think Mario Kart 8, I really like this game, and I'm looking forward to the new maps, especially the ones in November. I hope the one thing they do with the maps is that we get not only, you know, I know some of them are going to be rehashes of maps of tracks from older games, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what made this one particularly special was that the new maps were just such on a grand scale.
Mm-hmm.
That it just made, like, Bowser's Castle in this one is just, holy shit. It's just so, it's like, and I hate using this word because I'm an English major and it goes against everything I said, but it's the only word I can think of describing it. It's epic. Epic on scale. These tracks, a lot of them. You know, it's just scenes like when you're in the airport level, you're going back down from the, you know, the air track, and you're going down to the landing strip, and there's these huge airplanes just rising, almost hitting you, you know, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Or riding in the clouds, you know, riding inside of a cloud, and it becomes stormy and darky. Or the volcano level where pieces of the track are just falling off.
Right.
So it's just one of those things.
Mm-hmm.
It does things that, you know, you look at the older tracks on Mario Kart 8, and while they're, you know, obviously HD redos, they're not like the tracks for the new game, which is nice.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's important to different. See, I think, and again, I loved Mario Kart 7. I still play it, you know, when I'm on the go. But right. The thing with Mario Kart 7 is the main tracks didn't really differentiate itself from the new tracks in terms of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not saying that they weren't different. They were different, but
not different enough.
Yeah, not like Mario Kart 8 was.
Okay.
So, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
So, you need Mario Kart 8. I mean, it's a blast, and I'm super pumped for the DLC.
I'm more surprised if the game is not fun. Like, if somebody just basically outright, if unanimously everybody just said, we're sick of this, and it's not fun. I would be like, whoa, that's insane, you know, but, you know, it's Mario Kart, people like it, I certainly don't, so.
Yep, no deep narrative in those games, so.
it's not just a matter of narrative, it's like, that's one of those games where, you know, like, I just want them to do something that blows my mind, but, you know, Nintendo, while they make really good games and stuff, it's just, I'm not their target audience, so.
Gotcha.
Right.
Gotcha.
You're the target audience.
Yeah. But I dig it. I dig Mario Kart. And I'm with that in mind, I hope they do the same thing with Smash Brothers 2 on the Wii U, whenever that comes out.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see more of the kind of big
sure.
scale stuff. So mm-hmm. I don't know. There's there's some pretty cool stuff. So Mario Kart 8, so that's one thing I've been playing.
Okay.
All right, so on to you, good sir.
Okay, so for me, if you guys tune in to Backlog_Battle_Alex on Twitch, which is my channel, you will probably know by now that I just beat Destiny.
Oh.
Yeah, so I was playing on the PS4. I've been kind of playing it for like the past four weeks. Last night, one of my friends, actually a longtime collaborator, Chris, from, you know, who used to write for us at Gamer Horizon, actually helped me out. It was just me and him, and we went through all of Mars, and all of Mars was pretty much like, there were three missions that were kind of hidden on the map, and then there were two more that unlocked. But pretty much you can go straight to the end, and, after you beat the second mission, and that's exactly what we did. So we beat the game, and I realized, and pretty much it solidified that I don't like it as much as I thought it was. Yeah.
Kind of not surprised, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah, I know how you are sometimes.
What do you mean you know how I am?
Well, you get, not saying it's an insult, but just you... You got hyped for the game, right? A little bit. Let's go back to the summer, right?
Sure.
Got hyped for the game, and it just, like, I got the gist from even the betas and shit. It wasn't going to be what they promised it to be. I just had the feeling that you were going to be disappointed by it because you were expecting more from it, which... When the game is promised with especially a deep story and deep lore, you yourself goes into expecting that, and when it doesn't deliver, right?
It really doesn't deliver in all accounts, because I can sum up to you guys what Destiny's plot is by you were dead, now you're alive, which is the very first thing that happens. That is not a spoiler.
Why did you die, though?
I am doing the shrug motion right now in real life. So, yeah, that's as much as I know about you dying.
Oh, it's like being in prison in an Elder Scrolls game.
Then. Yes, yeah, pretty much, yeah. So, I mean, that's... Yeah, so you're a prisoner. No, just kidding. So I can sum up to you in, you know, and if you guys are playing through Destiny for the story, good God, don't even try it. You died, now you're resurrected. The darkness is approaching. You have to fight off the darkness. You have to go through these, like, you know, this. You have to go through Venus in order to, you know, fight the darkness. Then you go to the Mars to fight the darkness, and game over.
That's it.
Oh, and by the way, it's not done because there's a sequel.
What?
Yeah. Pretty much. Yeah. Yeah. Literally the entirety of the storyline in Destiny. Let me think really carefully. There's one cutscene in the very beginning of the game. There is maybe one more cutscene after you meet the Traveler's Envoy, which, you know, you'll eventually get anyway. There's maybe two more cutscenes that are in another place, and then one last cutscene. There are five cutscenes total in this game, and none of there's maybe another one, but it's not a lot of cutscenes. It's not a lot of voice acting. There's not a lot of story. In fact, one of the things that they do, which is real, and we've talked about this before in either this show or in the previous shows, is they did the lazy thing with the lore, and you know how, like, you collect cards, the Grimoire cards? Like, from time to time, it says, go to Bungie.net for more information, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, my God.
So all the lore is on their website, and you only get them if you fulfill certain requirements in the game.
That's fucking stupid. It's Halo novels all over again.
Well, I wish that were the case, but there is, you know, it's lacking information. So when you try to fight these beings called the Cabal, not only does the game not give you proper context as to who they are, they give you very little context. They don't really, it's just like, they're basically bullet sponges for you to shoot. And you don't know why, you know, the culture of the Vex, you don't know the culture of the Fallen and stuff. You just get not even glimpses of what they're going through. It just, you can see that they're at war with each other, and that's practically it.
At least the fucking Covenant got some insight.
That's the problem, is that remember when we were talking last week, or maybe it was like a couple of weeks ago, but in some previous episode of the Social Link podcast, we talked about how Final Fantasy makes you feel like you're the hero, right? And yeah. when you play the Halo games, you feel like you're the hero, because obviously you're Master Chief, and you're going through the game as him, right?
Right.
And there's a lot of character development between Master Chief and Cortana and all the other people.
Which, mind you, 343 Industries got better than Bungie did in all of its games.
But even then, you realize why the Halo games were so powerful is because they are tangible people. Like, from the very beginning, when you start Halo 1, you meet, you know, all these different characters on the ship. You don't shoot them, but they're ever present in your screen. In Destiny, the only other people that you can interact with are other players outside of the tower. In other words, all the people that you see inside of the tower are just basically storefronts. That's all they are. You don't see like NPCs actually doing things outside, other than the enemies doing things with each other. And
Jesus.
And that's how I feel like in. And it's weird because they call you a guardian. And then, you know, at the, you know, pretty much close to the end of the game, you see all the guardians. And you're like, and then you realize, like, I'm just a cog in the wheel. This is the problem that a lot of MMOs have. You are part of the solution. You're not the solution. So, in other words, even if you don't play the game, it doesn't really fucking matter. Because whoever enlists in the fucking army will basically do the job for you. It's okay.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Oh, well, we should play Final Fantasy XIV instead.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm not saying that...
Okay,
I'm not saying that there are no merits to Destiny. I feel that some of the guns and the weaponry is really, really cool and really solid, and it's really fun. I played a metagame where I basically said, you know what, I'm going to use the hand cannon throughout the entire game. That's a metagame. That's not the game telling me what to do. I've just decided, hey, you know what, I'll use a hand cannon. Increase the handicap, and I'll just try to do headshots. Which was really fun. And then I realized, wait a second, this isn't difficult. I had to make things difficult for me because I felt that the difficulty of the game wasn't there.
Oh,
so shit. I don't know what the longevity of this title is going to be. I really don't know. But it is going to have a sequel. And for Bungie's sake, I hope the sequel is way better than this initial offering.
And this is a game they hyped as revolutionizing games and all this and that.
Revolutionizing first-person shooters. All they did was they took an MMORPG, stripped it of all the other non-action-y stuff, and then put it in an FPS.
Jesus.
Not only that, they basically like knocked off Guild Wars, and then it's... I don't know. I'm done. I'm over it.
You're over Destiny.
Yeah, I might trade it in.
I'm kind of scared to play it.
You're scared to play it?
Because I don't know if it's going to be, you know, maybe I'll just play through it once and then trade it in, because it sounds like that type of game to me.
You should do what I did.
What?
Find a level 20 player, have them carry you throughout all the story missions, and then there you go, game over. Game over,
gotcha.
Yeah.
Game over, yeah.
Yeah.
Daytona totally. Style.
Yeah, totally game over, yeah. Speaking of which, I want to talk about a little bit about Destiny's exploits. So today, as of this recording, they patched an exploit called the Loot Cave.
Hmm.
So what higher level players would do, and actually all level players did, was there's this one cave in Earth that basically, like, I guess what happened was it is basically a monster closet, and it basically spawned a bunch of different creatures over and over and over and over and over again. So what people would do is they found out that they could stand a certain amount away from this cave, and they will spawn infinitely. So what they would do is they would just shoot into the cave until they basically had enough, and then they'll run into the cave and then grab the loot, which can be like rare items that are unidentified. Now, in this game, in order to level from 20 to 30, you need to get these items called the Legendary Engrams. These are basically the ones that, you know, get you rare, you know, rare stuff. Unfortunately, the drop rate for the actual drop rate when you identify a Legendary Engram to an item that you can use past level 20 is 3%.
Oh, shit.
So, majority of the time, if you're a level 20 player, level 21, level 22, level 23, you might get a level 12 item from it.
Fucking, I don't know what to say about this game.
So, not only that, and I've already expressed this before, the raids, you can only party up with people that you know. But as I've already explained in my article, which is entitled, I don't think the Guardian Peter Dinklage was looking for. You can't talk to people outside of your current fire team. And yes, they did say that they are actually addressing these issues in today's patch notes. But it might be too late.
Destiny's not biggest disappointment of the year, I take it, right?
People like it. I don't know if it's the biggest disappointment. We haven't seen any other games yet this year.
Still got some big ones.
Still got some big ones. So I will hold that judgment until the end of the year.
We got stuff like Isolation coming out in a couple weeks and things like that. So,
Yeah, I basically had my friend Chris carry me through the end. And if you guys want to see it, it is on our website at GamerHorizon.com. Or if you go to my Twitch channel at BacklogBattle_Alex, you can actually see the entire thing. And let me think. I think it's like less than 10 hours of gameplay. In the past broadcasts, or actually in the highlights. I'm sorry. But in any case, so the loot cave was patched today, and I saw a very interesting quote that I do want to read, and I did post it on our Hangouts today when I was actually, you know, when I was browsing stuff, and I feel this is very telling, because I feel that, you know, like, As a company, to release a game that's only online only, you have a responsibility to basically say, look, this is broken, let's patch it. A month later, okay, they pretty much patch it. So this is the quote that I got from Kotaku, which is a very good article. It says, "The loot cave is what's known as an exploit, a trick the game's developers didn't anticipate that allows players to bypass the game's carefully scaffolded progression system and earn experience points and gear faster than the developers intended." The bolded quote, because I actually bolded it for you guys to read, "That so many players would so eagerly latch onto an exploit like Destiny's loot cave only makes sense, given the game in question, Destiny itself is brazenly, almost inhumanly exploitative. So it's only natural that players would take every opportunity to exploit it right back." So in other words, this isn't like any other exploit before. Because sometimes when people use exploits, it's because, you know, like, and, you know, like, it's, you know, it's there. But in this particular case, players felt the need to exploit the game directly because the shit that Bungie pulls you through is bullshit. For, you know, and the Legendary Engram example I gave you is a number one example of that. Yeah.
Okay, well, yeah, there's Destiny for you folks. I should play it first, but I don't know. I'm not like super pumped to get into Destiny. I'm actually more excited to play Tomb Raider again than Destiny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm actually pretty excited to play Tomb Raider again as well, but I promised myself for Backlog Rematch on my Twitch channel that I'm going to replay through all of Final Fantasy, and that's going to take a long time.
Indeed, indeed.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
Mm-hmm.
So Destiny, we got, you know, the patch.
Yeah, the patch came out today, so that's fixed. But it took them weeks to actually realize that there's a problem, to actually release it. And of course, you know, like, I guess, again, this is... I'm not going to say anything. Just read my article on the Gamer Horizon website. Again, it's called, I'm not the... I don't think I am the guardian that Peter Dinklage was looking for, or Dinklage is looking for. It's a really interesting article talking about the Destiny in general. And trust me, there's nothing to be spoiled in this game. So
you fight the darkness on another planet, then you fight it on another planet.
Yeah, pretty much.
How's the final boss by chance? No,
I'll just. The darkness basically like possesses three statues, basically the exact same statue, and you kill it three times.
What the fuck?
That's the last fight.
Wow.
Again, you can watch all of this on the Game Horizon website and on my Twitch channel. This is not a surprise.
Reminds me of you know that anticlimactic ending to Halo ODST. Remember?
Mm-hmm.
When I told you my brother and I played it, and then we didn't even know we beat the game, but we did because it was so anticlimactic.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this had, like, really epic, you know, and really epic stuff, but it's funny because, like, after you see the ending, you're just booted back to orbit, not even a credit sequence. I was like, oh, okay.
Like, what's going on?
Yeah, it's like, okay, cool.
This game's cool.
Yeah, I am curious, though, what you think. I mean, the problem, though, with expressing my opinion, especially on the podcast, is that it colors others' opinions. And so I'm hoping that if you do decide to play it, that, you know, you're able to set aside what I think of the game and actually play the game in your own merits and time. You know,
I will. Yeah. I will. Yeah. So there's that. That's good old Destiny.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So, in any case... So, what else have you been up to, man? Because, I mean, it's been kind of like just, you know, like, it's been kind of like a laid-back week, right? I mean, nothing really big going on and stuff, you know?
You know, last week I was, like, super giddy because of Final Fantasy XV news, and that all died down, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Now I'm playing with the functionality of the PS4 because I've had it almost 2 weeks now. It'll be 2 weeks tomorrow.
Yes, it will be 2 weeks tomorrow, Friday. Yes.
Yeah. It'll be 2 weeks since I got my PS4, which I'm very happy with. I've been spending a lot of time with. I have simply certified the fact that I am a Sony guy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a Sony Nintendo guy, straight up.
Sure.
You know, and. You know, it's been like that. You know, of course, I grew up with NES, blah, blah, blah. You know, my gaming history, I've gone through a million times. But,
right. Mm-hmm.
But you know, it's always funny because I thought last gen, I would, you know, at the beginning, I was becoming an Xbox guy. And I wasn't, you know, when we first met.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, you totally were.
Yeah, I was an Xbox guy. But, play, you know, the year after we met, when we were well into TPPG, the momentum of the PlayStation 3 to me started changing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got it a few months later, and then I found I was playing my Xbox less and less and less.
Right.
And to this day, you know, because the PS3 is not completely dead,
mm-hmm.
To this day, you know, I'm in a position where, you know, the PS3 is the best console of the last gen. Even though it may not have sold as much,
right?
It's the best console. Because what it did is Sony certified themselves as, if not, yeah, as strong at first parties as Nintendo is. But the difference between them and Nintendo is they still have the third parties backing them up.
Right.
So Sony certified that they are just as strong at first party franchises with Nintendo. And unfortunately, I think Microsoft has the weakest of those. So.
Sure.
That's just me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so welcome to social PlayStation fanboy.
Oh, jeez.
I'm just joking. No, nothing against the Xbox One. I might get one someday, but I don't know. Not for a good long while at most.
It is a tough call, right? I mean, it's like, all right, well, that's kind of cool, I guess, that's happening. Okay. Like, it's like, oh, look, Titanfall. Oh, look, you got, like, Tomb Raider exclusive. You know, and I kind of agree with a lot of people. Having exclusives isn't really benefiting anybody. In fact, it just pisses gamers off.
The only exclusives that matter now are first-party exclusives. That's it. Third-party exclusives don't, or, you know, that shouldn't happen anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we started, you know, what's funny is if you go back to the gen before this last one, PlayStation 2 and shit, you started, towards the end of that generation, you started seeing that shift. Because then you started seeing, like, the Grand Theft Autos go from PlayStation to Xbox, you know, and all kinds of things like that, remember?
Mm-hmm.
So, I think that shift's been going on, and right now it's a rudimentary thing. I don't... The only exclusives, in my opinion, should be first party and maybe second party exclusives, and that's about it. Third party, no. You know? That's just me.
Right.
You know? And as much as I praise Square Enix with what they're doing with their Japanese brands in the last few months, I think this is just a dumb move.
Oh. Yeah, whatever.
Whatever. But other than that, you know, the Xbox One, the only things that I really want on it is Killer Instinct. I don't count Tomb Raider because it's going to come on PS4 eventually. And I think the other thing that I really want is maybe Halo 5, maybe, but I could care less, really. That's it. And I don't think that's enough for me to buy that console, Alex.
Yeah, it's so interesting how the paradigm is shifting away from those guys to, you know, to pretty much like to Sony and stuff. But I mean, I don't like talking about Microsoft in that kind of vein because I think that they've done a lot of really cool innovations and stuff. It's just for me, like I've always been a PlayStation fan, and that's where my loyalties lie. I mean, Honestly, like, it's kind of like, I'm in a similar situation when I built my PC 5 years ago and I spent, like, almost $3,000 on it. And when I got it, I didn't actually buy games for it. I actually still bought games on my console. I mean, a lot of you guys who are PC fans will probably say I'm crazy for doing that. But I have friends that I lend my games with, so... Like Chris, like I let him borrow like Far Cry 3 and he loved it. You know, like I can't do that on a PC with Steam. Yeah. Even with a family thing, I'm sorry, but it's just the way that it is. And yeah. There's just a social aspect to borrowing games and talking about games and stuff. And, you know, like being able to go to a friend's house, play that game, as opposed to like, oh, well, I got to buy you a copy because you can't play it.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. That makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense. But yeah. Look, I'm not hating on Microsoft. I think, you know, you got to look at what Microsoft did, though, with Xbox Live, the original Xbox Live, right?
Mm-hmm.
As flawed as it was, you know, they set the bar to what online gaming on the console should be, nonetheless. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And they did a really good job. They did a fantastic job.
And when they got to the, you know, like I said, if you look back at the original Xbox Live, that had its flaws, right, on Xbox
One. Right.
But you go to the one on the 360, and right from the bat, they kicked ass with it.
Exactly.
They killed it. They set party chats. And you know what's funny is that system, you know, we know the UI changed, but that system never really had to be changed at all.
Exactly.
And that was the brilliance of it.
Mm-hmm. The blades were perfectly functional, like you said, like we talked about before.
Yeah. Oh, I'm talking just online functionality, not blades or anything like that.
Well,
I'm
in general, like that online functionality kind of changed too, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You know, they were trying to be forward thinking, but it's just sometimes there are things that get deprecated, you know, and moved around and stuff like.
And they tried. There were things that they tried that were odd. Some things that I kind of dug and some things that were odd. Like, remember when they tried to do the whole TV thing where you know, one versus 100?
Yes, I did remember that, yes.
And they did it for a little while, but I think it was a failed experiment, right?
I mean, yeah, they shut it down, right?
Yeah, they did. But it lasted a good while, and I dug the idea, But I can get why it didn't succeed.
A lot of people have tried, have desperately tried to make games have schedules. There's a reason why people don't like MMOs. It's because right. they don't want to be in a schedule. You know? Even dailies and weeklies and stuff. Like, a lot of people get turned off by just the idea of coming back every single day doing the same quest over and over again, or at least once a week to do, like, one thing. You know what I mean? And if you, now that you're basically saying, oh, yeah, these are going to tune in at this time, and I'm like, no, because playing video games is very similar to, like, you know, to buying a movie so that you can watch the movie at any time.
Exactly.
You know, so, yeah, wrong idea, good try. Let's put it that way. But in any case, so I don't want to kind of keep this in this kind of console conversation, but I do want to talk about, you know, like the fact that I've beat Destiny and now I'm looking for a game to actually kind of play through. I have a huge backlog on the PS4 now, and I do want to stream it. So that has to be the requirement, is I have to stream the game. And for the people who are actually listening to this podcast, I do have a list that's on my Backlog Battle Twitch channel, so that you can actually check out and see what games I have the backlog for. Now, again, it has to be a PS4 game, but I'll be updating it pretty soon with an updated list of games that I still need to finish. But I do want you guys to kind of give, you know, like chime in and give me feedback onto what you might want to, you know, want me to play on the stream. So if you email us at sociallinkpodcast@gamerhorizon.com with the header Backlog Battle Alex, I will actually take those into account and I will take those as a vote. If you also actually write a reason for it, I will actually read it on the very first time that I actually start the Backlog Battle. So, again, this is, you know, you can vote for it and stuff. Anthony, you can too if you want to. Yeah. But,
I'll go see what your backlog is.
But, yeah, it is a PS4 backlog battle, because I don't have streaming equipment yet and capture equipment yet for my PS3. And my PS3 can play all the way up to, like, the PS1 stuff, so that's gonna be nuts.
the PS3 library that I have, too, mm-hmm. is nuts. I mean, it's not only retail games that I own outside of... outside of, you know, digital stuff, but I have a ton of digital games and PS1 games. Nice. And I wish to stream PS3 stuff, because I would have a blast doing that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I would stream some of my favorite games of all time, but yeah, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. I am glad the companies did realize how important Twitch is these days.
To some degree. I also wanted to talk about something. The next few weeks, we're going to see some really interesting games. The Evil Within is going to come out in October, but Aliens, I think, is coming out soon, right? Or is it already out?
I know, it comes out next week or the week after, I
Ooh,
think.
Ooh, are you getting it?
I'm torn between that and The Evil Within.
Isn't The Evil Within more like October?
They're both October. Here's the thing. Because October is pretty much next week, dude.
This is true. This is true.
Yeah. So, you know, next time we record, it will be in October. This is the last podcast of September.
Damn. Crazy. Yeah. That's nuts.
Indeed. So, with that said, I'm torn between Evil Within and Aliens. Now, Evil Within, as you know... What's interesting about it is it looks like a Western game, but it's not a Western game. And and it's Shinji Mikami, for God's sakes, you know?
Right.
And, you know, when Shinji Mikami, he's produced a lot of games, but when he directs a game, it's usually pretty good, right?
Usually. Did you ever play that one game, the shooter game that he made? I forgot what it's called.
Vanquish,
yes, thank you.
I dug Vanquish. It's not his best game. It's not as like, you know, like when I played Resident Evil and was blown away. But mm-hmm. Vanquish, the original Resident Evil on PS1 is what I'm referring to.
I see.
Okay. Because I know you're more nostalgic towards Resident Evil on the GameCube. I'm nostalgic towards the original PS1 release.
But at the very least, well, you do know that the GameCube version was remade by him, right?
Yeah. I know that.
So are you kind of excited then that they're remaking it in HD?
I never got the chance to play it, so yes, I'm excited to play it. Awesome. Is it going to be on PS4?
Yeah, it's next-gen stuff, dude.
Okay, so current there gen, you go.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. But anyway, he's designed games that I've enjoyed. You know, he's made a masterpiece of a game called Resident Evil 4, which I still think holds up fantastic to this day. I played it a couple years back, played through it again. I love that fucking game, you know? Another game that I think that he directed that I enjoy, it has its flaws, but I like it. It's a guilty pleasure, is Dino Crisis.
Okay.
I like Dino Crisis. Did you ever play that?
Just for a little bit. I'm not excited with that concept, so.
Oh, I like it because I like dinosaurs, so there you go.
Sure.
You know? So, let me ask you this. If you're not excited by this concept, that means you're not a Jurassic Park fan.
No, it's a different thing. It's like, those are two completely different things.
Okay.
I mean, if you think about it, you're going around, like some place in Dino Crisis, and with a gun in hand. I mean, how many times did you actually see them, like, confront any of these dinosaurs in Jurassic Park?
Oh, no,
like,
none.
With a fucking shotgun?
Oh, I got your point. Okay.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Exactly. It's like they replace the zombies with dinosaurs. Boom. There you go. New game. Ta-da! And that series is just tainted. Remember Dino Crisis 3?
I don't even like remembering the second game. So
well, there you go. So I don't know why you're even talking about Dino Crisis.
The originals. Well, Shinji Mikami did the original, and it's a good game. It's not his best work, but the original's fairly good. After that, you know, it went to other hands and.
Okay.
So we'll leave it at that. But he makes good games, though, I think, when he directs them. So.
Depends.
Did you like Vanquish by chance?
I can't make a judgment on it because I never played through it.
Okay.
It is in my backlog.
Ah.
But it's not on the PS4.
You know, real quick, let me ask you this. Can we stream PlayStation Now stuff?
No, because I think you can't. I don't think you can do it, mainly because it displays, it emulates a PS3. That's what it's really doing. I've never tried. I'm pretty sure there's already a thread dedicated to it. So, and probably and most likely the answer is going to be no.
Okay. Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. I haven't tinkered with PlayStation Now yet.
Right.
So I don't know how that works. There you go on that. But back to the Evil Within. I think the trailers look amazing. I think I hope it's a step forward in survival horror. It looks like it's more psychological than anything Mikami has ever done.
It's not psychological.
It's not? Okay.
No. Supernatural. Let me just get that out of the way. In every single preview of this game, including playthroughs, just not playthroughs, but like previews that my friends have actually played of it, it is not psychological.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's a lot of jump scares.
Okay.
To be fair, yeah.
Which is what made the original Resident Evil magical.
Yeah, just not too often.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, one thing too, I know we're kind of just bouncing around topics and stuff, and it's really that kind of day. There's not really a lot going on. I mean, the only other thing is I reached Act 5 in Diablo, so yay. We got hot new screens of Final Fantasy 15 and Final Fantasy Type 0 HD today. And what's really interesting is that there was an interview that was posted today that asked Nomura what happened with Final Fantasy 15. And check this out. He basically said that it was not his call.
Oh.
He was removed from the project.
That makes sense, though.
Like, I know I told everybody last week that he was removed from the project, but this is official that he basically said that, yeah, I don't have anything to say about that because it wasn't my call. It wasn't my decision. I was like, whoa.
Well, here's the thing. Like I said last week, Square Enix realizes they can't dally on their games like they have been, right? And this goes back to even 12. I mean, how many years was between 12 and fucking
13?
10, 12 and 10.
Yeah, that is a while.
Yeah, so, I mean, 10, 2001, 12, 2006, and then the same thing. So Square cannot dally on their games anymore. And they realize that. And look at the gap between fucking Kingdom Hearts, for God's sake. So I think he got removed, not to be removed to be punished or anything, but removed to work on Kingdom Hearts 3.
Yeah. Well, the biggest problem, which, you know, Final Fantasy 14 also suffered, and it was apparent in Final Fantasy 13, the first one, is that there is a huge push in Square Enix to make beautiful games. So in other words, this was the exact same thing that got Square Enix into trouble when they released a Final Fantasy movie. This is the exact same fucking thing, ladies and gentlemen. The one thing that they keep obsessing about is graphical clarity. The reason why Final Fantasy XIV 1.0 is the way that it was is because they focused so much on making the most beautiful game possible, they forgot every single aspect of the gameplay. Same with Final Fantasy XIII, the first one. It's, you know, like, to me, I've always felt that that game could be a lot longer than it is and could be a lot, had a lot more depth to it. And pretty much, like, that's kind of like the feeling that a lot of people got, except Anthony, of course.
No. I do. I have said I like the game, but I never said it was perfect.
Yeah, but you know what I'm talking about, though.
Right.
It's this focus on graphical quality that gets Square Enix into trouble all the frigging time.
Right.
You know, like, and those two games are primary examples of it. Thankfully, they bounced back with, you know, later 13 games and A Realm Reborn. But holy hell, like, you know, like, I can only think, like, was the same thing kind of happening with, like, 15? That's why, like, they just removed him and stuff? He's like, no, it's not good enough graphically. I don't know.
I don't think that's going to be the problem with 15. I think, well, of course, we know from trailers and shit, 15 looks gorgeous, right?
Yes.
It does. It looks beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also getting the vibe that maybe some of the reason for long development and time is they're making a game that is huge and worth vastly exploring. That's what I'm hoping for, right?
Right.
And that's what I think this game is going to be. It's going to be the big open world Final Fantasy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I have high hopes. I think this game is going to be very good. And if I'm disappointed, well, then I'll be disappointed. But I don't think I am. I think it's going to make amends. And I think Square did what they said just for what, you know, what you said possibly. And I think they want him to focus. I think it's mostly Kingdom Hearts 3, dude. I think that's the case.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's Kingdom Hearts 3 because Square Enix realizes, you know, I think we'll see Kingdom Hearts 3 whenever 15 releases. I think we'll see it about 6 months after 15 or maybe a year after at the most.
Right.
So we'll have two big Square releases because I really think that, you know, 15, it succeeds. They want to start not pumping them out, but they want to get Final Fantasy main titles faster than they have.
And they not need stick to the same one. Like, that's kind of, it's weird to me. And I don't count 14 in this, that there was only one numbered Final Fantasy in the previous generation. And the previous generation was pretty long. You know, like, it's like 8 years or something. And right. It's strange to only have one. I mean, yeah, you had the side stories, but that doesn't count.
Well, let me enlighten you about something real quick. You probably know this, but I'm going to enlighten the audience, hopefully. Go back to 1997. 7's released, right?
Sure.
You skip a year. Well, Square had some big releases. 98, they had Parasite Eve, Xenogears, whatever. You go back to 99. You had Final Fantasy VIII.
Mm-hmm.
In 2000, you had Final Fantasy IX. 2001, you had Final Fantasy X. That is three Final Fantasies in the span of 3 years.
Sure.
Okay. Now, that might be a bit obsessive. I don't think they're going to go to that, but I think Square wants to do maybe a 2 to 3 year cycle on these.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope. This is all speculation, of course, but I think from what's happened with, you know, with the success of Bravely Default, with the success of 14, I think Square got the kick in the ass that they needed, and they're developing what they need to develop.
That's what I'm hoping. And, yeah, you know, I'm pretty optimistic about that, so.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And we'll find out starting with Type-Zero next March.
Mm-hmm.
Which, when we'll be podcasting, we'll be streaming that shit, I hope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we will see.
We'll see. But these pictures, real quick, what did you make of them?
They look great. I mean, I've nothing to complain about, really. I mean, it's higher resolution than. I mean, it's a screenshot.
Yeah.
It's not ideally what the game's gonna look like. You know, it's. I think like the videos captured what the game is gonna be.
God, that trailer is so cool.
The trailer is pretty cool. I'll give you that.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I think we're gonna start getting a lot more information on the game in the coming months. So.
Absolutely, and I completely agree. I think it's gonna be awesome.
Cool. Speaking of other, so let's go back to something we talked about earlier. I just want to ask you. So you said, so we were talking about Evil, the Shinji Mikami game. What do you think of Alien Isolation?
Alien Isolation is something I'm really iffy on. Mainly because I just, you know, I don't know what to expect on it. Like, there's a lot of uncertainty in that game, especially with how Sega has handled the brand before. I mean, I realize it's not their fault, right? But
Colonial Marines,
you can't
yeah.
help but be pessimistic about it. So, yeah, so I just don't know.
The problem with Alien Colonial Marines was that, again, you know, this is unfair, but I think a lot of people based it on, you know, E3 demos that they had played sure. or something like that. And those E3 demos, from what I understand, played more superior to what we got.
Yeah.
And if you remember, let's go back to February 2013. I'm a little less critical on games than you are sometimes, right?
Mm-hmm.
But how much did I bitch to you day after day after day of playing that game?
Mm-hmm.
Remember?
Yeah. I remember.
And you were, you were shocked about how, like, I can get real critical, but I never absolutely fucking hate a game.
Yeah, I mean, I know that, you know, some people who have listened to me or watched me play games and stuff, it's, you know, it's kind of a put off that I'm so critical of games, but I don't do it to spite developers and stuff. It's because I mostly want them to put their best foot forward. Not to say that I know every single solution, but I'm just saying that there are sensibilities that some people can, you know, can adapt to. Some people may be content with what they have, but in a world where games take about 2 to 5 years to make, think about the people who are working on it. I mean, holy crap. Like, this is why. And I was talking to a friend about this earlier, by the way. Ken Levine worked on Bioshock Infinite for close to 5 years.
Jesus.
That is insane.
It is.
That is basically half a decade of his life dedicated to one video game.
And that's why he went to what was a smaller development, I guess, or
yeah,
something like.
He's still working for 2K, but he's going to develop smaller games. Because, I mean, think about it. It's like, holy hell. Like, you know, when he started, okay, let's say he was 40 right now, which I don't know how old he is. He started the project and he was freaking 35.
Jesus.
And who knows what else happened in between then. Maybe he got a kid or, you know, a pet. I bought a house. I mean, there's a lot of things could happen in 5 years. Game development is not getting shorter, folks. And so that's why I'm so critical of games, because I want developers to be a little bit more careful when it comes to releasing them and not just patching them after it's released, like Destiny.
Yeah. And that's the thing with Destiny, was Destiny had been hyped. As far as I understand, there were references to it in ODST, right? Or something like that?
Yep.
Yeah. And then after ODST, you know, when they had Reach, there were more references. And then in 2011, Bungie released their history of, like, 20th anniversary.
Yeah.
Remember that? And they're like, we're going to revolution the FPS. And, well, you know.
Nice try.
Yeah. Yeah. But let me tell you something fun. I'm going to hopefully be streaming System Shock here quick, right? Which is a Ken Levine game.
Right. Speaking of which, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I read up on the development cycle on that game. And it has a little bit of an interesting history, because there was a game in 94 called System Shock.
Yes.
And Ken Levine and Irrational Games, they were actually told to develop their kind of original game, but they were fans of the original System Shock. So that's why it's called System Shock 2.
Mm-hmm.
And the development cycle on that game was about a year.
Nice.
Which is back in, I think System Shock 2 came out in 99.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there you go on that. And what I've played of it, I have played the game a little bit. It reeks of a Ken Levine game already.
Hmm.
Very story driven. You know, I can understand why people really much go back to that game still.
You know, what's funny is I feel that Bioshock Infinite kind of almost ties System Shock into it as well.
Really?
Yeah, and because you haven't finished it, mister, I can't tell you why.
Okay. Here's the thing. PS4 allows me to finish Last of Us. Does the remaster edition account for our bet?
Yes. Of course it is. Yeah.
Okay. And then I'll go back to, now that Final Fantasy 14's gone from my PS3, because now it's on my PS4, I can because that was one of the games I deleted.
Sure.
BioShock.
Okay.
So I could go back and re-download that later.
And mind you, I do want to replay Bioshock Infinite as well at some point, but I do need to get a lot of things like a capture card and whatnot. So I do want to stream it, because I feel that a lot of people are streaming the PC version, and I'm like, well, I want to stream the PS3 version, because to me, like, you know, not a lot of people do that sort of thing. You know, not a lot of people stream PS3 or, you know, like previous gen games or something like that, you know.
After I beat those two games, I think I'm going to replay Tomb Raider and stream that, because I already know what to expect.
Okay.
So I don't think there's a whole lot new in the Tomb Raider Definitive Edition.
Sure.
Or am I wrong?
No, it's the same.
The same? Okay. Is the DLC included?
It's just multiplayer DLC, so yeah.
Okay. Because I know Lara Croft has new outfits, but what was cool was they're all conservative, so...
Same thing. Yeah. It's still the same. So, but I think it's about time to actually stop this podcast, sir, because we pretty much ran out of time.
We need to go to Eorzea.
Yeah, Eorzea beckons. So pretty much, guys, thank you very much for tuning in again. Hope you guys have a wonderful evening, day, noon, and night. But before that, be sure to tune in to either of our streams. Anthony's is backlogbattle_Anthony, and mine is backlogbattle_Alex. And if you have any sort of questions, comments, concerns, or you want to vote for my backlog, it is sociallinkpodcast@gamerhorizon.com. And of course, you know, like, we'll read your questions. And about your questions, we will read it. I think what we're going to do next week, Anthony, is I think we're going to devote just one episode on just questions and do a Q&A.
Oh, really? Did we get some questions?
We got a bunch of questions, actually, which is going to be really interesting.
Emails? No shit?
Yeah, we did. So I think next week we're going to actually dedicate some time to address those.
One quick question. They're not all from Mike and Eric, though. Mike and Lewis, right?
I can't say that. Pretty much, like, thank you again for tuning in with us, you know, listening to our podcast. We really, really appreciate it. Please let your friends know that we are back. Anthony and I are, again, back and stuff, and we're doing these things. And, you know, obviously, it's like our 33rd episode today, so I'm really happy that we're kind of going strong and stuff. And definitely tell your friends about us. You know, let people know what's going on with our podcasts, our streams, and of course our website at gamerhorizon.com. So, all right, guys. So have a great rest of your day. Have a great evening, noon, and night. Or morning, noon, and night. I'm sorry. And we'll see you guys later.